This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Long, 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 long time ago, I played Little League Baseball. Anybody else play officially the official Little League Baseball? Yes, I did as well. My team was Sertoma in Sarasota, Florida. Yes, Sertoma. And my coach was Coach Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N. Have you ever heard of the Sertoma? They're like Kiwanis and so Sertoma. Well, I played, I did something I should never have done, which was I was told when you play baseball, especially before a Little League playoff, which is what we had that day, not to go to the beach. Now, I'm from Sarasota, and it's hard not to go to the beach, so I don't know what I was thinking in sixth grade. I'm sure somebody invited me. I can't remember all the details, but I know that I went to the beach, and I know this might be hard for you to understand, but yes, even Spanish people get sunburned. And so I was severely sunburned, probably dehydrated, and I went to my baseball game. I was dropped off, and I was a really good second baseman. The whole year, I only had one error, fielding error. I was not a good baseball hitter. I think my batting average was actually my body weight, which is around 65 pounds. So I didn't know I needed glasses, all right, so I couldn't see hardly. But that particular day was our playoff. I remember my teammates, we're still friends. Many of them went to high school or the rival high school together. I made six errors, almost two, three per inning. And I remember on my sixth error, Coach Sutton yanked me off the field, partly because I was crying. And so he was very kind enough to take me out of my misery. Now, before I move on with the story, Coach Sutton was one of those old school coaches. He smoked in the dugout. And he drank Schlitz malt liquor in the dugout, and it was acceptable. And it's almost like Bad News Bears, if you've ever seen it. I'm not recommending it, but it's very similar. And then I know we don't have any little kids here. We do have some, but I'll just try to keep it as brief as possible. I'll let you guys figure it out. But I had no clue what he was saying. He says, "Boys, if we win today, I'm taking you to the Club Mary." And so it was not a good club to go to. I had no clue what he was saying. But I had six errors that day, and I was crying. And I looked into the stands to see if there was a face, somebody I would recognize, a family member, to console me, to let me know it's okay. And I didn't have anybody there. My parents never, ever came to, especially my dad, never came to any of my baseball games, never came to any of my soccer games, never came to any of my basketball games. One time in basketball at middle school, McIntosh Middle, I scored one of my few points. Sadly, as the coach says, "Mario, you're in," you know, which I didn't get to play much. And I saw the basket. It was nice and clear and open. Nobody was defending me. I'm like, "Yes." And I shot it, and it was the wrong basket. And so no one there to console me, and no one there to give me a hug. And then to make matters worse, at that Sertoma baseball game, the game ended, we lost, and they were closing down. It's on 12th Street, the baseball park, right off of Tuttle, and they were shutting off the lights, and there was no one there to pick me up. My parents had forgotten to pick me up, so it's a sad story, but it really isn't. I'll finish the story at the end. Anyway, so happy Father's Day. Some fun facts about Father's Day. It was started by a lady, Sonora Dodd of Spokane, Washington, wanted a special day to honor her father, a widowed Civil War veteran who was left to raise six children on a farm. The first Father's Day celebration was June 17th, 1910, and it was proclaimed by Spokane mayor because it was the month of smarts, the dad's birthday. The first presidential proclamation honoring fathers was issued in 1966 when President Lyndon Johnson designated the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. And it has been celebrated It has been celebrated since 1972 when President Richard Nixon signed the public law that made it permanent. Now, the rose is the official flower for Father's Day. Wearing a red rose means you have a living father, while a white one represents you have a deceased father. Father's Day is celebrated in many countries. And according to the 2012, so it's already a 14-year-old poll, most dads prefer to spend their Father's Day just with families, and 22% said don't even get me gifts, so or gift cards or anything like that. So that's pretty interesting. And so today, normally I don't, if you know our church, we don't really talk about national holidays. We try to focus on Jesus and the Lord and his word on Sundays. And today is no exception, but I want to talk about fatherhood. Fatherhood is designed by God. And I believe it's primarily a teaching tool for God uses to teach his people about himself. So I believe it's appropriate to honor fathers this morning. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw that the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased.'" I want to just talk about 6 points on this passage that exemplifies God as our father. And I pray that it is an example for us as men and fathers, whether we have natural born children or spiritual fathers. I believe we can look at our heavenly father and see him as a role model for our own lives. Now, back to my little baseball story, not to throw my dad under the bus. My dad passed away 4 years ago. Somehow I knew instinctively, I don't know how I knew, but I never felt like I was being abandoned because my dad was working, and I knew what he was working was for me. He didn't have the means to finish his job and come watch me play baseball, but he had to work. During those days, he worked as a U-Haul manager, and he was like a repo guy. And so sometimes I would go with him, and people would steal U-Haul trailers, hide them in their lots and in their fields, and it was my dad's job to go and find them. Because usually people say, "I see a U-Haul trailer in that lot." So we go there, check the VIN number, and in the middle of the night, you know, hook it up. And so that was my dad's job. So I knew that he couldn't come to my baseball games, but I knew that he was making sure I had a roof over my head. I made sure that I had clothes on my back, and he made sure that I had food for me to eat. And I never went without shelter, clothing, or food. So I'm very grateful. No, he wasn't there for my baseball game, but he was there for the big stuff, right? Food, shelter, and clothing. So thank you, Dad. Matthew 3:16 is an example of our Father, our Heavenly Father. Number one thing is, I recognize the number one point is, God our Father was present. Maybe your earthly father wasn't present, but God our Father, our Heavenly Father, is present. The first thing we see is that Father was present in the life of his son. This may seem simple, but we can't miss this point. When Jesus was baptized and about to begin his earthly ministry, his father was most especially present at this moment. It comes out of another Bible verse, Jeremiah 23:23 teaches, he says this, "I am a God at hand, I'm here, declares the Lord, and I'm not a God that's far off. Can a man hide himself in a secret place so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord." So even though in my own example that I shared with you that my earthly father was not there, God is telling us through this little story that he's always there with us. Amen? And he's there with you. So God was present. God is always present in the lives of his children, and he's never absent. Even in the tough times, he's there. I've heard many stories of people, I've read stories of people who were in prison and they felt the Lord's presence. People who I've knew someone who was suffering and eventually passed from cancer. A friend of mine from college talked about how she felt the Lord's presence even in the hospital bed. I did not have a father presence at my football games, my soccer games. I started really thinking, like, do I have any recollection? And I don't. But I knew that my dad did the best he could, and his presence in another way was there. But God is always present with his children. And I believe it's an example for us as dads that we need to do our very best job to be present. Give your kids the gift of being able to know without a shadow of doubt that they are there. Now, maybe you can't be there physically, but let them know that you are present. The number two thing that we can see from this little passage is that God, our Father, made his presence felt strongly by sending his Spirit. God was not only present, he made his presence felt. God was there during his water baptism, and it was visible image of the Father. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went out from the water, and behold, the Bible says, the heavens opened and saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And we too have been given a Spirit of God. We're not just merely physical creatures. Our spirit, like the Father's Spirit, is an essential part of our being. And if we're going to allow the Father's example in our lives, we must not just be physically present in body, but we must be spiritually present in an intention as well. Having a dad around is important, and someone who's filling a spot in the room. But it's more important, I believe, to add something and be present. If we're truly to be godly dads, our physical presence is only part of the responsibility. I recently read a podcast of a lady, and her job is to make events memorable. It's not a Christian book, but it was a very good book. And one of the things they said is that it's important that your audience is present. Not just present, but present. And so what she would do is make everybody turn in their cell phones and put it in a basket on their way in. Because there's nothing worse, she said, is to be in a meeting in a big boardroom table and someone be there physically present, but not present in the room. And so the Holy Spirit, God the Father, through his Holy Spirit, was not only present, but also his presence was felt with the attention. So on a practical level, this means coming home each evening. And now everybody's different. Sometimes everybody's job is different. But at the end of the day, there's got to be a time when you're not only physically present, but you have a presence at home. It's good to go to your kids' musicals, dance, sports, academic performance. But if you're on your phone the whole time, you're present, but you're not present. Does that make sense? And the Holy Spirit is present and presence. Jesus felt his presence. The number three thing we could learn from this passage is God our Father made his presence known by speaking. Behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." The Spirit and the word of the Father evidenced his engagement by this remarkable event and scene. Now, Mason is downstairs, my son. He's my youngest son. And sometimes, somewhere, I don't remember, but I've decided that I wanted to let him know. Sometimes he's playing sports, and I remember at Flagler, you know, you're up in the stands, you're far removed, he's busy doing soccer stuff. And I wanted to let him know that I was there. But I can't just yell, "Hey, son," because then, you know, there's 30, 40 guys out there, you know, going to look up. And Mason, you know, I could yell Mason, but he probably couldn't hear me. So we concocted a whistle. And I would whistle a certain type of whistle sound. in order for him to know that his dad was there. And that his dad was there. And so I still do it to this day. I think, Brittany, you may have noticed, Mason coaches a soccer team, and sometimes we're in a big stadium, and first thing I'll do is I'll do the whistle, and he'll look up, and he'll find us. I want to teach our grandkids that whistle. But it's not only, it's like a voice. It's like we're communicating in a way that I want him to know that not only am I physically present, not only did I want him to know that my presence is there and I'm cheering for him, I'm trying to communicate with him and let him know that I'm for him and I'm there to support him. I'm not really there to support the team, and that's just the side benefit. But I want him to know that I love him and we're proud of him. I know there's I know there are healthy expressions of these first three besides being, you know, present and presence and being there, physically, spiritually, visibly, and vocally. But number four leads us to God our Father identified with his Son. Behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." Both for the Son's sake and for the sake of those close enough to hear God our Father identify Jesus as his Son. Of course, Jesus is the Son. And him saying so didn't make it so, because he was already is. But something remarkable happens when you hear, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus was always fully God, but he's also fully human. And in his humanity, filled with the knowledge that his baptism marked the beginning of a life, filled with sorrow and grief. But he was reminded that his Father's presence would be with him, a blessing would have of knowing that his Father is there. What's more, the Father's declaration of Jesus as his Son, the Father's identification with Jesus, left no doubt for the nearby listeners. Grace, all of you, if you are hoping to find rest in the certain knowledge that this God's declaration to you and me as well. We too are his sons and daughters. Can you find rest in Jesus? I shared this a week ago. Lots of people are duped, fooled to think that they can find rest by sleeping a few more hours on Sunday morning. Now, you might get some rest getting that extra hour of sleep. But I'm telling you, there is something supernatural when you come together to worship the Lord and the Spirit of God comes upon you in a powerful way through song, through a testimony, through the message. There is a rest that you feel his presence and he's speaking to you, and a reminder, like we're doing this morning, that you are his son and daughter and he's proud of you and he loves you. And he identifies with you. 1 John 3:1 says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are." So I would challenge us dads, spiritual dads, biological dads, make sure that your kid knows how eager you are to name them as your son and daughter. Let them see your pleasure and pride, and when you see them and introduce them to your friends and families and coworkers, as our Heavenly Father did with Jesus. And don't leave any doubt in public or in private that you are proud of your kids. Number five, the Father expressed his love for his Son. In our passage, we're about to finish up here. I'm going to ask the band to come up in a few seconds here, a few minutes. The Father was present. He made his presence seen and heard. He identified with his Son, but that's not all. The Father didn't merely name Jesus as his Son. He named him as his beloved Son. Behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." God the Father genuinely loved Jesus. Dads, followers of Jesus, I pray this is true of you as well. that your kids know without a shadow of a doubt that you not only know them and are proud of them, but they genuinely know that you love them. One of my favorite, hasn't happened recently, but one of my favorite scenes, I come here early and the band comes here early, and we're all doing our, Natalie comes early, and Dave Blackburn comes early and he sits back there on the drums. And then Rhea would show up and she would let her kids get out of the car so they can come in right away so she could park the car. And this happens so many times, I've forgotten how many times. Again, they're now in high school, so they don't do it so much. But I remember Elijah coming in and Lucy coming in, and Dave already left before they awakened, and they would literally see their dad, and I would watch them. And this is how I could tell how the relation's going. They literally would run to him. He's still warming up. He's trying to tune the drums. And they would run to him, to me. And then you could see his proud face of seeing his kids because he hadn't seen them that day. And to me, it was an example I wanted to point out that not only was dad there, Dave is there present, he's around, but he's not only is he feel his presence, proud of them, and he calls them by name and he introduces his kids, but they also knew, we could tell that he absolutely loves them and vice versa. So thank you, Dave, for being an example to our church. Again, number five, the Father expresses love for his Son. This is my beloved Son. Ephesians 5:1 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. And so God is asking us to imitate. Don't just be the disciplinarian or the teacher or the janitor or the chauffeur. Be their dad first, okay? Be their dad first. Your primary relationship with them is being dad. Let them know without a shadow of a doubt that you are proud of them. Don't let frustration be your number one emotion, but pride and love. Tell them that you love them. Now, I never was raised hugging. I can't remember my dad ever hugging me. Anybody else like that? You don't remember your dad? And I think it's a generational thing. So it's not like they didn't love us. I just think they were never taught to show physical admiration. I appreciate my dad's gone so I can talk about him. In years past, I was afraid because, sometimes they'd watch me. I do appreciate my dad. My dad was not a perfect dad by any stretch of the means. And so what he did do, though, he helped me become a better dad. I'm like, okay, I don't want to do it that way. So let me make sure I break that generational curse that maybe, my dad lived on the streets. He had no dad. And I never met my grandfather. So I took that into account. I took into account my dad's upbringing, so I didn't hold it against him. He was a street kid in Ecuador, and he never saw a father model before him. And so he did the best he could, but it wasn't great. And I wanted to learn from that. And so the Lord helped me to see what things I should emulate and what things I should change. So do the same. Okay, number six, and this will be our last point, is God, our Father, was well pleased with his Son. Grace never makes the mistake of believing that there isn't joy shared with the Godhead. There's joy in the Godhead. Jesus, the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit are an example of joy, eternal joy. And I believe that that's something we could emulate. You could have a home that's filled with joy. It's vital for us to understand that God designed his people to hunger for these things that we talked about, like food. But when we lack those things, lack the capacity to show emotions towards our kids or express with words or be present, the Lord can help us. The Lord can help us. So if you've, that's the thing, I think we sang a song like this this morning, that regardless how poorly your father, your earthly father, loved you, we have an example of our heavenly father. And I could look back in my own life. My heavenly father helped me, and I'm not saying that I'm a perfect dad, but become a better dad than what was modeled before me. And I didn't hold it against my father because I can't be responsible for him, but I can be responsible for me. And I asked the Lord, help me. The Holy Spirit did help me. And my wife helped me. She helped me and reminded me to be present. It's very easy in the ministry to be everywhere in your mind. And one time we would always invite people over our house for dinner for Thanksgiving, always. And we would always put the kids at the kid table. And then, I forget how many years ago it was, but Robin said, hey, let's not invite anybody and let's have the kids at the big table. And then I think Melise said it, somebody said it, and they were like 12 years old, maybe 14 or maybe even older, I can't remember, but basically they said, you know, we have never sat here for Thanksgiving. And that hurt. I want them to know that I'm their dad and I'm proud of them and I want them to sit at the big table with us. And they are important. Nobody else. I'm their only dad. I tell people this all the time in ministry, especially campus ministry. Hey, you're not going to be their only pastor, all right? But you have your own kids? Yes. You're going to be their only parent. You're the only dad they'll have. So don't exchange the time that you can only have with your kids with ministry. And so just challenge us. I learned the hard way. There's a song that stuck in my head years ago. There was a ministry towards men, and they sang a song. And I remember being in Jacksonville listening to this song, and it just shook me. And we're going to end with that, then I'm going to ask the band to come on up. We're going to finish our time. The song is called These Things Are True of You. So everything I just talked about God is true about the Lord. The words go like this: unshakable, immovable, faithful and true, full of wisdom, strength and beauty, these things are true of you. He's talking about the Lord. Fearless, courageous, righteousness shines through in all you do, yet you're so humble, you lay down your life, these things are true of you. And this is what shook me and shocked me. It's the chorus. And as I turn my face to you, O Lord, I ask and pray, by the power of your love and grace, make these things true of me too. Make these things true of me too. Patient, compassionate, love flows through you. You never give up on the hopeless ones. These things are true of you. Holy, blameless, you stand up for justice and truth, yet you love mercy and forgiveness. These things are true of you. And as I turn my face to you, Lord, I ask and pray, by the power of your love and grace, make these things true of me too. Make these things true of me too. So we talked about the six things that the Lord, Heavenly Father, exemplified at the baptism. I'm praying that they would make those things true of you and me as well. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you for loving us. Thank you for all the dads in the rooms. Thank you for our dads that are not in the room. Some of our dads are in eternity now, and I pray, God, that that we would learn from them. But Lord, I pray more than anything that we would learn by you, Father, our Heavenly Father, and the example you set before us in this little portion of the scripture of the baptism of Jesus. Lord, help us. These things are true of you. Help them to be true of us. Lord, help us to be present. Lord, help us with our presence. Help us to communicate. Help us to identify. Help us to express. And help us to brag and be pleased with our kids. Lord, I thank you, God, for all that you're going to do in our church. And I pray, God, that we would honor you in how we treat each other, treat our parents, our fathers, and our children. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing this song.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.